It's because of the mercies of God that he's waited so long for Daniel's 70th week to begin and the first seal to open. It's because of the mercies of God that you stand here today in this room with the ability to finally have another opportunity to judge yourselves lest you come under judgment. It's by the mercies of God. He's a merciful, loving, tender, compassionate God. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Although he's holding back that type of judgment, there are coming wars where there will be things happening. There's wars taking place right now. But God's holding that judgment back, but that's not the only judgment he's holding back right now by his mighty sovereign hand. There's a much greater judgment coming upon this planet. There's judgment coming in this nation and all the nations who are forgotten about God. Not because God wants it to happen, but because people refuse to obey him. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Go to Joel chapter 2, and we'll end here. I know what you feel like now, and I know what you're going to feel like an hour from now. Unless you genuinely repent, you're going to go back to your same things that you did. What's important to you will still be just as important as it was before you heard this message. Or you're going to have this message in your heart and you're going to take it with you and you're going to do something about it. And you're going to change your agenda to God's agenda. You're going to change your desires to God's desires. You're going to make God's priorities your priorities, or you're going to continue to go on and do your own thing. It's up to you. The information has been spoken and my conscience is clear. Joel chapter 2. The prophet Joel. He said these words. He said in verse 15 of chapter 2, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. The Amplified Version, let me read the King James Version first. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Amplified Version says, blow the trumpet in Zion, set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility. Call a solemn assembly. Isaiah 58 said, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? And then he goes on and talks about to hide not yourself from your own flesh, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. Whatever it is in you that does not want to feed the hungry, those who are not born again. Whatever it is in you that does not want to clothe that sinner with the robe of righteousness. Whatever it is in you that needs that yoke broken off of that old man. Whatever it is in you that's hiding from the things of the Spirit, that's stopping you, that's hindering you, it's your flesh. It's your flesh. He says to The fasting will cause you to hide not yourself from your own flesh, which is a twofold application. He's talking about their brothers, but it's also talking about you, my friends. Fasting is what is going to bring that spirit man up higher and enforce the positional truth that Christ lives in you. The body's dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Fasting is what will break that yoke of flesh that's hindering you from being 100% sold out to God in every fiber of your being from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. And like the prophet Jeremiah called to the people, he said, call them together here. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a fast, he said. I'm calling you. I'm charging you and calling you. This is by the Spirit of God. He told me to call the people to start the fast. I am not asking you to go on a 40-day fast of just water. But I am asking you to get serious about your relationship with God. The reason that Christians think that they're okay living in sin, the reason that Christians think they're okay, complacent, indifferent to the lost, dying and going into hell, the reason they think that way is because their flesh is dominating them. It's the flesh. It's the devil. No, it's not. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. And if you will put to death that flesh, then Satan will not have a handle to hold on you with, to twist, to push you into position to do anything that God would not want you to do. I'm calling you, I'm charging you to get on a fast. In fact, I challenge all of you to fast one meal a day for a whole week. Breakfast is probably the easiest one. We have to get past the flesh in order to get to the place that God wants us to be. In order to become serious about our relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus' heart, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. The heart of Jesus Christ beats for the lost. Every pumping of his heart is for lost people to be saved. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. To set the oppressed, to let the oppressed go free. Isaiah 58. What's going to get us to the place that we need to be at so that we can sow seeds not to the flesh? Not be lovers of pleasure, more important how I feel, more important about my agenda than lovers of God. I got plans, Pastor Dan. I got to do this, I got to do that. You don't understand. I do understand that your flesh and Satan has such control of you that you can't hear this message. I understand that. I understand that you're smarter than the pastor who's been exercised, who's sat in your chair, who's done everything that you've done. I understand that you're smarter than him. I also understand that you're smarter than the Holy Spirit that's speaking through my mouth. That's what I understand about that type of attitude. Or, on the flip side, we can take to heart what is being spoken and say, Pastor Dan, I agree with you. You're right. I need to change. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I humble myself today and I fear God enough and respect Him enough to make His agenda my agenda. I respect Him enough to humble myself under His mighty hand that He may exalt me in due time. I'm going to grieve. I'm going to wail. I'm going to lament. I'm going to afflict myself. In the Old Testament, the prophets used to put on sackcloth and roll. He told them to roll around in ashes, He said. I'm not asking you to do that, but I am asking, and they wouldn't eat either. I'm asking you. In fact, Moses went 80 days without food. Let's see somebody try that one. You went up on the mountain and fasted 40 days, come back down. You know, the prophet Elijah fasted 80 days. He ran, he ate one meal, and he went back on another 40-day fast. He ran. I don't believe that it happened. Come supernatural. I'm not asking you to go on an 80-day fast or a 40-day fast like Jesus did, but I am trying to put some flicker of light in your hardness of heart of this generation that they might wake up and see their complacency and see their indifference towards people who are dying and going to hell. You should every time, if you got to be led by the Holy Spirit to witness to people, you're already deceived by the devil. Every time anybody walks past you, if you have time to do it, just open up your mouth. I never have time, baloney. You got time. You just don't want to do it. I don't feel led. That's because your flesh is leading you, not the Spirit. The Spirit will lead you to witness to everybody. We went to Aldi's, where we like the grocery shop, to save money. We got the cashier born again right there in the store. I walk my dog. I get people born again all the time walking my dog. Just because I open my mouth. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's just because I ask the question. I get backsliders to realize they're backslidden all the time. And I also get atheists to take another look at the things of God. Not because I'm a pastor, it's because I make myself available. And the reason I'm able to do that, to make myself available, is because my flesh is down here. I've got my foot on it through fasting. The reason I care about the lost, the reason I don't want people to die and go to hell, the reason I do that is because my spirit man is up here. I'm enforcing the positional truth consistently. That my body is dead because of sin, but my spirit is life. Seated in heavenly places with Him, Zoe, because of righteousness. I enforce that position by forcefully enforcing that positional truth through fasting. I choose to do that. I do it. God does not force me to do it. He told me to do it in His Word. I choose. I choose to do it. Are you bragging, Pastor Dan? Nope. I've already told you before. When God chose me to preach His Word, He was scraping the bottom of the barrel. But I have nothing else to live for. Nothing. If I can't die for Jesus, I don't even want to live. And that's how you should feel about it. If I can't die to this old man and put him to death, there's no other thing to live for. You got a family. I love my family so much that I sacrifice all the time that I'd love to spend with my wife and my son so I can fast and pray and stay close to the Lord so I can bring the truth to this corrupt and wicked, deceived generation that they might have some kind of glimmer of light shine in their spirits so they can wake up and not go to hell with the world. God expects holiness out of His children, and those who refuse to obey Him are walking a very fine line with God. They are walking over the... They are like a... What do you call them? Like a gymnast that's walking on the... Say it again. If they're like a gymnast walking. I just watched a man, some advertisement popped up on a YouTube video of end times that I wanted to watch. And it showed this man, he was in between two mountains. He must have been hundreds of feet above everything below him, and he was walking a tightrope. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing with your salvation. Unless you're 100% sold out to Jesus, you're still doing this, because He said to make every effort to make your calling and election sure. The only way you're going to make your calling and election sure, that means there's no chance of you going back into the world, is by fully surrendering your heart to Jesus. And the reason this is so important, the reason this pastor keeps preaching you about this, is because the deception is getting greater, and Satan has more children that he's rising up to deceive. There's more sin. It's becoming more prevalent. Satan is vomiting it up out of hell right in front of your eyes. And if you're not serious about your relationship with God, if you're not making every effort to make your calling and election sure, you are in dangerous ground when it comes to your salvation. He said to make every effort to enter through the narrow door, for many will try to enter. He said in the last days, Jesus said, the love of most will grow cold. He said deception will come to deceive even the elect if that were possible. He said when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I'm okay, Pastor Dan. If you think you're okay living in your complacency, he already has you. Repent! The kingdom of God is near. Jesus is coming. And those who will be delivered are those who are wholeheartedly serving him when he comes. Otherwise, you're like the five foolish virgins who have the information. They knew they should be acting. They knew about it. They knew that Jesus is coming. They heard the bridegroom's coming. Come and meet him. They heard it over and over. They had the information. And they went off and contemplated. It never says that they bought the oil. It never says it. And when the door was shut, they said, come and get me. He said, I don't know you. Because they have the information, but they refused to do something about it. They refused to repent of all their sins. They refused to get their heart right with God. Because their agenda, their selfish, little, fleshy, disgusting, putrid agenda was more important to them than God. Just, if you don't feel remorse for your sin, you're already lost. You're already headed to hell. Repent. Every one of you, get your hearts right with God. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. He's got a plan for you, but for you to be able to experience his love, you got to get the sin out first to begin your walk with him. He said, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. I know him. No, you don't. He said, the man who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. He said, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. He said, we know. He said, if anyone... There's dozens of scriptures in 1 John that make it so clear, so blatant, so obvious. But those who are blinded by the devil can't hear what it really means. They'll hear the scriptures and they say, I'm blah, blah. He's got you. He's got you. He's taken you to hell. Wake up. Don't go there. You don't have to. It's your choice. You don't have to go to hell. You're living with your boyfriend, you're going to hell. You're out of there. I'm going to go home and have sex with him. Go on and do it. I hope you enjoy that pleasure, that momentary pleasure, because that snake that those seven Columbia youths described with 6 to 8 inch nails coming out of that wicked woman's private parts and through her throat and out of her mouth will consume you for all eternity if you don't repent. You think it's funny. It's not funny. God is not playing games when it comes to sin, and he's trying to warn you by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dan, you're just some kind of crazed man. No, I'm not. God is compassionate for his people, and he's trying to save the lost. First words out of Jesus' mouth, repent. First words out of John the Baptist's mouth, repent. The first words out of his disciples when he sent them out, repent, the kingdom of God is near. That's the message, and we need to get back to genuine repentance. Whether you're on the level of still deliberately sinning and going to hell, and you need to get that out of your life, or you're on the level of complacency, it's still not good. It may not send you to hell, but it's still permitting other people to go to hell as a result of your complacency. Thank God Jesus bore your failures. I want everybody to come forward. I'm going to pray for you. And I want everybody to please make a commitment to fast. Don't hear these words and let it be another love song. Don't let it be something that just sounds good. It's time to take action. I do not think everybody's going to hell. That is not what I think. But I provided you with an opportunity tonight to judge yourselves on whatever level you're walking in. He said, "We get in 1 Corinthians 11, if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment." He said, "For this reason, many of you are weak and sickly, and many have fallen asleep." And that reason was because they were not appropriating the benefits of the atonement of Christ. Also for strife and division. Strife is on two levels. It could be strife against your fellow man. It could be strife against God. You'll see this time and time again. We run into it. I've watched it so many times. You'll see Christians, claiming Christians. They're born again. They know that God wants them to go further. They want them rooted and grounded in a church that teaches the whole truth. They find out about it. They see it. But some religious spirit grabs hold of their soul and drags them backwards. And I've seen it time and time again. Their body starts to deteriorate. They need another surgery. They need another surgery. Diabetes. Malignant things start working in their bodies. That's the type of judgment that starts happening in their bodies. God permits it in order that it might bring them to repentance so they don't backslide all the way and go into hell. So as a result of their disease, they call out to God. He forgives them. They make it to heaven with a nominal reward instead of the full reward that He had for them. I don't think everybody's going to hell, but I have to warn you that sin, the wages of sin is death, and it will take people there. And God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're born again or not born again. There are sins that do not lead to death. There are sins that do not lead to death, but I am not giving you any grounds to tolerate sin. You have to look at it all the same. You hate it, just like we learned about tonight. We have to hate sin, but there are sins that do lead to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He said, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians, he mentioned almost the same sins, and he says, "I warn you as I did before that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." He says almost the same identical words to two different churches. That was Paul's message to the church. I don't know what would Paul preach, Pastor Dan, when he just sit up there and preach love, just read through one of his letters. Doesn't take you more than 45 minutes. That's one of his sermons. Read one of his letters. You want to see a 20-minute sermon? Read through Galatians. You want to see a 40-minute sermon? Read through 1 Corinthians. He's going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. He's going to talk about holy living. He's going to warn them about sin. All that stuff. He didn't just sit there and talk about righteousness, grace, 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 righteousness. He talks a whole lot more about repentance and against sin than he does about righteousness if you read your Bible. In fact, Paul said you aren't even ready for the teaching of righteousness when he wrote the book of Hebrews, and he talked more about repentance for 13 chapters just about. I mean, how could the church get so far away from what God intended? They're so far out of balance. Why is that? Because they don't read their Bibles. They follow popular doctrine because they're more liable to tickle your ears and take your money out of your pocketbook than to take you to heaven with them. He can't set us free from ourselves. He can only set us free from the things where we want to be set free from. If we don't want to be set free, He can't set us free. Let me read you something before I send you home. He said they dressed the wound of His people. They treat it as if it's not an important thing, He said. You know, what He wanted to do is He wanted to cause a purging. I'll just paraphrase it because it'll probably be easier to explain it that way. But he wanted the prophet to preach the truth and not water it down. But the people were dressing the wounds of the people. In other words, they were just covering it up by not telling them the truth. But God said, tell them the truth that it might be a purging, a cleansing. What the world's theory of a church is we compromise and change the message so the people will all come together and they'll keep coming to hear it. But God is not concerned about saying words that are so offensive. It says the cross is offensive, it says in the Bible. It's offensive. Because the cross is not just a place where Jesus died, but it requires us to die. That's what's offensive about it. And it's offensive to believers when they hear that they have to give their whole life and surrender everything to Jesus. You mean I have to really, Pastor, I really have to stop sinning? I have to give up everything? You really want me to do that? When it shouldn't even be considered a sacrifice. The reason they feel that way is because their hearts are full of evil. They're not willing to let go of all that sin. I don't consider it hard. I don't live in deliberate sin. I enjoy this walk of the Spirit. And the reason it's grievous, he said in 1 John 5:3, he said, this is the love of God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. But for the one who still is a slave to sin, the one who's still in bondage of the devil because they continually yield their members, like it says in Romans 6, they become slaves to sin. To that person, it's going to be very difficult to give out sin. In fact, they can't do it. Because they're no longer slaves of God. They become slaves of the flesh. They become slaves of the enemy again. Until they genuinely repent, like we talked about tonight. So I encourage you, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. If you can't mean it from your heart, don't even say it. Just bow your head in respect for God. If you don't mean well, the words you're about to speak about fasting and about genuine repentance, don't even bother saying it. Don't insult God with your words. Don't give Him lip service. He doesn't like that. But if your heart is ready and you agree with what I spoke tonight, that we all need to get more serious, every one of us in this room, including myself, could get more serious about God, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I ask You to please forgive me for not being 100% serious about my relationship with You. Forgive me for putting other things before You, Lord. Forgive me for making other things a priority instead of making Your priorities mine. Help me, Lord. I acknowledge Your word is truth. I judge myself so I don't have to be judged. I judge myself so my judgments are laid upon Christ. And I'm judged righteous in Him. Holy and blameless in Your sight. Because I choose this day to wholeheartedly serve Him. I choose to obey Your first command to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself by choosing to follow Your path so I'm sensitive to Your Spirit so I can love my neighbor by laying down my life that they might be saved. I choose to be the watchman over my family and not serve selfish gratification doing my own thing, but instead to serve from Your table the salvation that You prepared in the sight of all people by opening up my mouth, by humbling myself, by surrendering my agenda, and exchanging it for Your agenda, and making the lost my priority in life. Through my prayers, through witnessing when I have opportunity, and for me fully obeying You in every way. Father, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You that You're a merciful God. I thank You that You loved me before the creation of the world. And I choose to follow You wholeheartedly through fasting and pushing myself in prayer. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you all for a week to fast one meal a day. Just one. Smith Wigglesworth fasted breakfast every day for probably something like 30, 40 years. And that's not counting the other fasting the Lord put him on. Pastor Dan, I've fasted two meals a day for the last 3 years or so. And that's not counting other fasts he puts me on. I just eat dinner. I don't eat any bigger dinner than I ever did. If I can do that every day, you can do one meal for a week. In fact, if you do breakfast, some of you might find you got more energy. Because it lets your body cleanse all that Doritos you guys keep on eating or whatever it is you eat. I love you guys so dearly. That's why I tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. God has shown me that there are things coming and I don't want to partake of any of it. And He promised me, let me give you an example. Just as Jeremiah the prophet said judgment is coming, in the same way, he was a righteous man. He was affected by the judgment that came, but God protected him. The same way all the other prophets, they said judgment's coming. They knew it was coming. They warned the people. They were all affected by it. But God provided for them and protected them in it. And the people that obeyed the prophet's instruction, He also protected it. The ones He said, go. The king of Babylon's coming. He said, go. Some of the people said, we're going to stay in the land. Judgment came on them. But the ones that did what the prophet said, and they said they went and did it, they were protected. In fact, they found favor. So if we'll just obey God now, then when the judgment comes, yeah, we're going to be affected. Yes, the economy is going to affect us, but God's going to provide for us supernaturally. But those who are not serious, those who don't take to heart these words and they count it as some kind of joke and they wait for something to happen, they're going to be swept away with the wicked in the same way that they were when the prophets warned them. So let's just learn a lesson from the prophets in history. Let's learn a lesson from Israel. He used Israel as an example over and over and over. He said, everything written in the past is written to teach us that through endurance and the encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope. Romans 15:4. All that stuff in the past we can learn a lesson from. We can learn a lesson from history, what the prophets told them. Because just the same way as Israel was blessed and then they became disobedient and judgment came, this nation obeyed God wholeheartedly for a season. And became very extremely blessed. But now they're accepting and worshiping other gods. And they're taking all this Muslim and Hindu and all this garbage into it. And as a result, this God's no respecter of persons. God says judgment is coming upon this nation. The economy's been up and down. It's at the lowest state since 2011. The other day it dropped 303 points. Today it was up. God said, He said, just watch it. Watch it. He says it's going to drop out. And those that put their hope in their riches, it's not going to be good for them. That's why so many of these bankers, they commit suicide. They have nothing else to live for. Their God is their money. They don't know what to do when calamity strikes in their jobs, in their careers. But we have hope. He said, Hebrews 13:4, He talked about He said marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. He said keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I'll leave you with that encouraging word. Fast. Fast for the sake of your families. Time is short. And I know difficult times are coming, but He promised He's coming to take us out of here. The rapture is going to happen very soon. But in the meantime, we have to stay 100. We don't need to sit back and go, the rapture is coming soon. Let's just sit back. That's not what He wants. He wants us to be wholeheartedly serving. He expects it from us when He comes. Father, I pray for the people here tonight. I pray, Father, they'd be doers of the Word, not hearers only. I pray You'd surround them with faith and love. I pray they would fear You, Lord, and do things that are well-pleasing in Your sight. And I pray, Father, that You'd rise them up from their slumber and that they would be alert and self-controlled and recognize anything that stands between You and them. And they'd go forth from this hour and just take a huge leap forward into You for sake of time. Bless them, Lord, and be with them in everything they do. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We'll see you on Sunday. We're going to have an awesome service. And just stay excited about God. Let's use this as an opportunity not to get discouraged, but to grow in God.